This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab is brought to you by Go NetSpeed, your choice for crazy fast fiber internet. This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And Dennis is Dennis Halnan, one of the co-owners over at Tab Computer Systems. And we are all co-owners because we are 100% employee-owned company. So that's kind of cool. And we're also joined by our favorite geek in Florida, Wes Bryan from IT Pro TV. You there, Wes?
Hey, Eric, Dennis. How are you doing, gentlemen?
Good, sir. How are you? Yeah. How are you doing down there in Florida?
Oh man, I'm doing great. I'm sitting here geeking out. The holiday birds dropped off a present early. I get to unbox a Intel Core i7 E15 ThinkPad. So nice. I'm just in heaven right now.
Awesome. Now Wes Bryan is one of the edutainers over at IT Pro TV, and IT Pro TV is basically a learning company where you can go ahead and sign up and start taking courses towards getting IT certified, whether it's security, whether it's just understanding technologies, computers. You can get trained on even applications. And so
most definitely, yeah.
You guys do a great job with that. And we've been having Wes on a few times here now. We want to get a little more deep and involved and have you kind of help our audience understand things. We've been doing the show for about 26 years and doing our best, but you're a pro. So we talk about DNS all the time, Open DNS as a security tool. And we thought maybe you could help maybe explain more deeply what DNS is. So we want to go and dig into that?
Most definitely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, Dennis was communicating with me, and man, he had a great list. I was like, all right, powerhouse, let's do it.
Yeah.
Sounds fun. cool. You know, DNS is one of the most important services that we have globally on the internet today. From a local standpoint, it's important, but really, it's so important. Like everything that we do across the internet that makes our things a little bit more human readable and human friendly it makes it a lot easier on us because let's face it, you know, I don't know many people's street addresses, but I do know their family names. So wouldn't it be nice that if I needed to send something to somebody, I could just get their family name and not have to worry about all the addressing information below to actually get that to the endpoint or get that to their mailbox. And that's where DNS comes in. You know, DNS allows us to use some names that are a lot easier to just type into a web browser and applications in general. And it allows us to find those resources when, you know, underneath, under the hood, right, all that addressing information, kind of like on the envelopes to your letters there, the machines, the redistribution points that are actually making these packets hop across various networks are using those numbers. And that's what they use. They don't really care about the human readable stuff. So this is kind of a meet in the middle approach where we can type in something like www.computertab.com or www.com. google.org or just any place that you would go to on the internet. And, well, magically, you know, we connect to web servers. Well, it's the magic behind the scenes that actually is, to me, kind of fascinating, right? So if you start at the – and jump in here at any point, you know, because I absolutely love this stuff.
You're doing fine.
You don't have to stop me, you know. So, one of the first things was, like, you know, from the endpoint standpoint, if somebody types in, a website, right, www.facebook.com or Microsoft.com, so what's happening? Why is it connecting to – this web page? Well, it all boils down to the communication over the internet is HTTP and HTML. And the reason the browser is able to deliver that information is because when you type that name and hit enter on your keyboard, in the background, what happened is the network software on your network adapter actually generated a little question that said, hey, I need to find out where this www.microsoft.com is. I have no clue where it is. Can you help me? Takes that, wraps it up in a nice little bow packet, if you will, sends it across the network, and the properties of the network adapter point to this server. And the server is kind of like a bookkeeper. And then it says, hey, bookkeeper, DNS server, if you will, it says, can you find the location of this www.microsoft.com that I'm trying to find? And that bookkeeper, that server, if you will, looks to a local file, just a little database, a little text file on its is stored on its hard drive, and says, well, I don't actually see what you're talking about here, but you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to talk to a couple more bookkeepers out there on the internet, and we'll have a conversation, and I'll get back with you here in a bit. That process is called recursion, right? That's a DNS, if you will, recursor. Mm-hmm. You have what's known as a local resolver, if you will, and that local resolver is that component that asks the first question. I'm taking my book. I'm going to the bookkeeper. Hey, I need to find where this book, or maybe a card looking for that book. Here's this card. Can you find this book for me? Well, that bookkeeper then goes and talks potentially to other bookkeepers. And the bookkeepers are kind of like a hierarchy out there in the kingdom of the internet, if you will. And the top of the stack are they're what are called root hidden servers. And the root hidden servers are, they don't actually resolve, they're not really bookkeepers of, let's say, specific books or records, if you will. They really just, they keep a listing of all the other bookkeepers out there that can help you find your information. Mm-hmm. So you go to the root, those root hint servers, that bookkeeper, you talk to them. And again, this is the first bookkeeper doing this on your behalf. And again, that's the process of, we call it name resolution, but it, the process of talking to different bookkeepers is called recursion.
Yep.
So then what the root hint server does is it turns around and it points to what are known as TLD servers. Well, you know, of course, in IT, we cannot have anything if we don't have a ton of acronyms.
Right.
So the TLD the TLD is what's known as the top level domain servers. And it's interesting because any of us who have ever used the internet since, God help me out, when were we updating host files? I think that was what, late 80s?
Mid-80s? Yeah, late 80s, early 90s. Yeah,
doing that.
Yeah, because you guys have been doing this for a long time. So you remember when it's a static file update, and if the list was wrong, boy, you were in trouble.
Yep.
We'll get to that, because if that list is wrong today, it can cause trouble. So they go to those top level domain servers. Consider them the bookkeepers of the .com, .gov, .edu, .mil for military, right? Mm-hmm. ITPro.tv, right? So, mm-hmm. And the newer ones, you know, they started out, they had like a, you know, just a handful of them. But then obviously they didn't realize that the .com boom was going to happen. And then, you know, eventually people were going to need IP addresses in, their refrigerators and stuff. So we had, right. As things progressed, the top level domains became a lot more. So, but those are all the different namespaces that you see at the end of a URL.
Yep.
TLDs, now they do start to have information, and not information only about other servers, but they have information about other bookkeepers that actually control the bookshelves that those books are on, let's say, if you will. Mm-hmm. So then the TLDs, what they do is they talk to what are known as second level domain servers. And let's just generically think of, you can call them SLDs. And I teach on them, but I know technically these are the companies, these are organizations that pay money to the top level domain organizations to actually store their books and their records, if you will. And the TLDs point to, let's say, Microsoft's, in this case, in our example, Microsoft's bookkeeper or DNS server. Mm-hmm. and says, I know where. So now we're sending that record to the Microsoft DNS server. So now we're at Microsoft's DNS server. And so what is Microsoft's DNS server bookkeeper going to do? It's going to say, all right, well, you know what? You're in my library right now, and I know exactly where that book is. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to go to the bookshelf that that's on. Let me grab it, and I'm going to return this to you. And now you have your answer. But what does that bookshelf contain? It contains a list, if you will, the records that we're looking for of what are known as host records and a variety of other records. But the important ones that we're talking about here are the records that map those names way back in the journey where we started, that initial request, to their actual IP addresses, which are what the redistribution points use in order to connect and move the mail, if you will, finally along the backbone of the internet to the appropriate location.
Right.
And they say, here is your web server. I am the one that, now let's get a little bit more technical. I have the authority. This is my record. I am the one that created it. I hold it. That's called an authoritative server.
Mm-hmm.
It's typically what they say, the last stop on the journey. But let's think of that as the one that is the owner of the results of that request, the other side of that, if you will.
Yep.
Now, let's do everything in reverse. Right? And
yep.
All it basically does is it sends it back up the ladder, back to the original DNS server that my computer generated the original request, sends it to the, and it's typically like my ISP's DNS server, right?
Right.
Sends that request to the DNS server. The DNS server says, oh, that's awesome. Let me go ahead and I'm going to put that here locally in that database, that little file I originally looked at
mm-hmm.
when you asked me that question and I didn't have your answer, but here's your answer.
Yeah.
Now, my computer reboots. I've got what's known as a local resolver cache, because now that I have my answer, I store my answer locally.
Right.
And the next time I decide that, hey, I need directions to an endpoint, I don't have to stop at the gas station anymore. I already got it located in my wallet, and I can look at it locally, and I know exactly how to get there. That's called the local resolver cache. If it has its answer, it stops there.
Right.
But the DNS servers along the journey, minus the route, and largely speaking, the TLD servers, because they know what they're in control of. They're in control of the top part of that space. They also have local resolver caches.
Now,
and
Wes,
those local, yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, so you've given us that high level. I mean, people just did the Google, and they're trying to find the Microsoft.com, and they got there, and you went from point A to point B. And so it's very logical, right? It's not magic. It's just if once you understand it, you understand from point A to point B. Now, the thing is that's insidious about this is that the bad guys that understand this can do things like DNS poisoning, and they can poison the DNS at all different aspects of that trail you just talked about, including your local cache.
Absolutely. Yes, DNS poisoning is a very real thing because it's, you know, one of the things about DNS is it's inherently insecure. It has things that have been added later, like DNSSEC, that can make it secure. But you're absolutely right. If I ask you a question, I don't know who's responding to that question. I have an IP address.
Right.
I am hoping that the response to that question is a legitimate one. But like you said, if the threat actor or the bad actors can get in there and they can, like you say, poison, which just means put bad information. And this information could be the road to nowhere that just does a denial of service attack, or more often than not, the road to exactly what they want you to see, whatever it might be, ransomware, anything.
Right.
That they can then, you know, manipulate your journey. It's a very real thing.
Now, with DNS filtering that we recommend all the time, OpenDNS, so you talked about those servers. When we recommend OpenDNS, we're using a more, I call it the HOV lane of having a safe travel on your highway rather than going down the more open direction you described, even though OpenDNS is kind of a counter understanding there. But can you describe what it's trying to do?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's based on the fact that we're not, I say we, I mean the people that are, you know, have these products, if you will, even if they are in an open source land, or like Cloudflare, is the fact, first of all, they're not selling your advertisement information.
Right.
That's one of the big things, because they have all these API endpoints, and any one of those endpoints can be, a method of attack, right? So first of all, they're not necessarily anonymizing you, because we're on the internet. Nothing's anonymous,
right,
unless you're using VPN technologies. But the point is, they're not trying to put a trail of where you've been and then sell that to advertisers to use against you. Mm-hmm. That's one of the greatest things. And then the filtering is just, it's such a necessity. And there's different types of filtering. One of the biggest filterings is the, hey, let's stall the API web request for a second, just for a second. And, you know, we used to say, oh, it's a slow website, I'm going somewhere else. But in today's day and age, they're doing it because they don't want denial of service attacks. So you're getting multiple security implementations that you can use that ultimately at the end of the day is going to give you performance.
Right.
Because of that journey, again, that less overhead. So there's a lot of things that it helps you, you know, you do.
So, I mean, so guy, we just touched on OpenDNS, and Wes kind of gave you a real high, or DNS in general, a real high level and low level, in-depth kind of nitty gritty understanding of how DNS works, how you got from your browser out to the DNS servers and back again. And that's the idea of having a trainer like Wes helping right. you understand technology. You know, it's not mysterious when he explains it the way he talks about the books and the library and the top level servers, secondary servers, and mm-hmm. understanding how this works. It can take the mystery out of IT. IT is supposed to be logical. It really is supposed yes. to be logical, and the GUI changed that. But it is supposed to be logical, and under the hood, it is logical. And guys like Wes Bryan over at IT Pro TV can help you understand that. So if you're interested in getting instructed, getting more education, go to computertalkwithtab.com. We have a link out there where you can get 30% off of signing up for IT Pro TV. And we're doing this selfishly. It's going to help Wes. Fine. Great. You know, good. Keep Wes busy. We want more geeks in Connecticut because
we are
out of geeks, man. There's not enough geeks. So I'm purely doing this for selfish reasons. I want to find trained people to work for Tab and other IT companies as well. But we need more geeks, and guys like Wes can help you get there. So, Wes, we thank you for joining us this Saturday morning.
Most
man.
Definitely.
Thank you, Wes.
Yeah. Absolutely. You guys have just a great holiday. I hope your New Year's great. And hey, I'd love to come back in the new year, and let's follow along in DNS, and let's peel back the layers of the onion.
We'll do so, sir. Yeah. Thank you very much. You too.
Take care now.
All right. Bye-bye. Wes Bryan, IT Pro TV. Feel free to get online, guys. Four lines wide open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. Four lines wide open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. I hope you enjoyed, Wes. The idea there is to truly kind of open your eyes to what's going underneath the hood of technology. It's, mm-hmm. you know, we've been doing this for 25 years, and we try to give you a practical, easy to understand solutions to your computer problems, but guys like Wes can really train you on the more nitty gritty and get you involved. Don't be afraid of it, really. There's lots of great stuff out there when it comes to technology. So as we wait for your calls, we're going to bring up some news. Do you have anything you want to talk about, Dennis?
Well, it seems Facebook found out that there were some security companies
mm-hmm.
that had created some fake accounts
yes.
in order to surveil people on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
And they cut them off. There were about 50,000 people that were affected.
Wow.
And I believe it was 1,000 accounts that they found that were bogus. And it was done by 7 different security companies.
Put those in air quotes.
Yes.
Security companies.
And
so they're surveilling your internet usage, your Facebook usage.
Or Facebook. Yeah. They're following you on Facebook.
They're becoming a friend, and they're like, hey, this is Bob. You know me. I'm Bob. Oh, right. Okay. You're a friend, Bob.
Or they would use friend of friend rates, too, where they would become somebody else's friend that's friend with you,
mm-hmm.
and then they might be able to see what you're doing that way.
Right.
And it's a very seedy business. And I'll bet you this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yep.
Yeah.
So be careful who you're friends with on the old Facebooks. We put a link up there to that story. It is creepy. And, you see it all the time. People can easily make an account, take pictures that you put out there publicly that look like you, and say they're you, and then you're a friend of somebody. So be aware of it. We're going to be here at 11 o'clock. So during the news, get online. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. And everything we've talked about has been posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. And if you want to get trained up, go check out IT Pro TV. We get a 30% off link. Again, we're doing it selfishly. We're putting it out there because we want you to become a geek. We need more geeks in Connecticut, people that know how this stuff works.
That's right. We need you.
We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We got three lines open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We're going to go to your calls first. We got Chris in Weathersfield. What's happening, Chris?
Yes.
Hi.
I have a question regarding voicemails reaching a via IP office. Do you know anything about via IP office?
It's
kind of like an old Boom Boom Audix system.
Okay.
Okay, so the arrangement is, just so you get the gist of this, mm-hmm. A person doesn't go into the office but once a month, and there's papers that, say, I send to the office for signatures, mm-hmm. and I leave messages over the phone.
Yes.
That get to this via IP office, and when first comes into the office, they see the listing that my phone calls are listed on their computer.
Right.
Yet they've not received my private phone message. What could be possible reasons why?
Does it work for other people, or is it just your messages?
Yeah, it works for other people. That was the first question I asked. I don't want to feel paranoid about this, but...
Right, so when you leave the message, they don't get it. It's just dead air or just no sound?
It's only appearing on the computer screen, but not in their voicemail inbox.
So they're not getting, like, an actual sound file. It's just...
Right, in the via IP office phone system.
Right. Well,
But it reaches the computer to show that the call was there.
Right.
I wonder if there's something going on, I'm not going to say with your phone, but something going on with the phone call where your sound is not getting to the system.
Okay.
And it knows that there's a connection because it answered the call.
Right.
It picked it up. It got your phone number, so it knows who called, and it knows that there's a connection. But then, for some reason, no sound gets delivered to the other end.
And
what it does is it decides that there's nobody there, and it just kills it and does nothing.
Right.
Okay. The weird thing is, once I leave a call, you know how sometimes you want to, you know, make sure that you did it short and sweet and all the points were there. You do a repeat. You know, I've done that. So I know the call is in there.
Oh, so it did receive the sound because it plays it back.
You know, you do you want to send it? Yes. Make it private? Yes. And then send it.
Hmm. Well, are you using that phone right now?
Yeah, and you hear.
It's working fine.
Yeah, I can hear you. It's got a weird hum, though. There is a weird hum.
It's Frontier.
Yeah, because you're going over your internet service, right? You're doing an IP connection.
I thought it was a true, copper landline. Oh. Obviously, I am going through.
No, not obviously. So it depends. I mean, you could be doing IP or you could be over copper, but you definitely have a hum going on here. So if you're hearing back the message...
Then the scenario I just played out is probably not the case.
So I'm going to say this. Could they be lying to you?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh.
Could they be, because, I mean, I can hear you perfectly. To say I didn't get the message is like the classic. especially if other systems work, why would yours not work? Is it for every Chris message that you leave, or is it for just a couple folks?
I believe, like I said, I asked, hey, if Joe Blow calls and are you getting that message?
Right.
Okay, first question asked.
Yeah, they're getting their messages. But my question is, is this problem only from you when you leave a message to all the people you leave messages to, or how many people do you leave messages to?
This is just the only business. Everybody else gets it.
Okay. And you're only getting it even just one person?
Only that one business, yeah.
Yeah, and it's only one person at that one business?
Well, it's a business where, you know, some people show up on one day.
Yeah.
It's
I'm thinking it's them, not you.
Yeah, it's sounding more and more like that.
Because you're leaving messages for other people and they're getting your messages, right?
Yeah, other people receive my message, not at that firm, but at any other place.
Correct. So it's them.
Is it their system?
I think it's the person.
Yeah. So the person that's not.
Yeah. We set up phone systems for companies all the time, and we actually, one of the things I always say to the client is that you can have a general voicemail box on people's phones, but you can't just give it to anybody because you have to give it to somebody who actually is going to take action on the voicemail. And if they don't, if you just give it to everybody and some ding-a-ling listens to the message and then doesn't do anything about it, then you lose business. Right. So I'm guessing, Chris, it's not you, it's them. I'm guessing it's whoever you're talking to is just not handling your message very well.
Well, I installed my own, you know, voicemail system years ago when it cost like $2,000, didn't want to deal with AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was just a thing in the wire room, and you had four phones, mm-hmm. and we had to connect it to the computer where you saw the, you know, the list of messages.
Right.
And as an administrator on that little thing, I would imagine their, you know, a little boom boom Audix system has the same setup where an administrator kind of knows passwords or, you know, can manipulate. Would it be something like that?
Again, I think it's the person on the other end. If other people are getting the messages, it's them, it's not you. Don't worry about it. Just send your message in a different way, like an email. And
All right,
Chris.
Sounds good. Thanks.
You got it. Bye
bye.
I like how she says boom boom, the boom boom system. But yeah, I mean, sometimes the whole thing is you got to use the logic, right? If your other folks are getting your messages, then it's them, not you. Don't always try to solve for. I mean, we have this type of issue all the time with email.
Oh, you know? Yes.
People are not getting my email. Why is that? Why are they not getting? Well, because that company has a problem with their email system you can't fix.
Yes.
Nothing you can do, nothing we can do.
Yeah. And it happens more often than you think.
Right.
Much more often.
Let's go on to Ed in Waterbury and see what's cooking in Waterbury. Hey, Ed.
Hi.
What's up?
I got a question. Yeah. Is there anything I can do if a scammer is in control of your computer?
Well,
number one, unplug it from the network.
Yeah, turn it off.
or power it off.
What they're doing now is she's on the phone now. Let's get money from the bank. And I told her to hang up, but she's still continuing listening to him.
Oh, why? You have your wife right now, and she's just being tricked right now as we talk?
Right.
Tell her to get off the phone. What are they trying to scam her out of? What are they trying to do?
Money. For the bank. The bank account numbers and social security numbers.
No, don't give that.
Don't give it out.
No, she's on the phone now yelling at me. So I'm not giving you any of that.
Well, then hang up. She has better things to do. Just hang up.
Yeah, but he's in charge of our computer. We can't get on it as far as I know.
Oh, so you let him in because you responded to an...
Yeah, he did. She forgot all about what she's doing. She's looking for something else. And he soft-soaped her into telling her to do this. And so she did. And then now he's in control.
All right. So you're going to turn off the computer and you're going to hang up the phone with that ding-a-ling, number one. Number two, you're going to have to get somebody to help you with your computer to do some scans to see what they loaded on your machine, if anything. They're more interested in just trying to get you to pay them now than to do anything. But you probably fell for one of those Microsoft scams, right?
No, it was a PayPal pad. PayPal.
Okay, so a PayPal scam of some kind. Somebody sent you an email saying something. Okay.
Well, she owed money. But it said, you know, they always put on PayPal. You have $495 deposited into your account. So we have to, you know, resolve it just to take it out and send it back to me.
Right. So you got an email saying you got money that was inadvertently deposited, and then she responded. Yeah. Now,
so she did.
So he may not be in the. There. Why does she think he's in the computer, Ed?
Because we told us to go to Target and get the Target gift cards.
Okay, that still doesn't mean they're in your computer yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got. Well, anyway, the $495 changed to $4,995. So now we have to get the money to the bank. Supposedly deposited in there because we're showing
no
deposit in our account.
It's not. It's not. So you want
to... So she took, she took her money out and paid for the gift cards, etc.
Okay, so she's got the... But she didn't send the gift cards in, Ed. Did you give him the numbers?
No,
and the
we had to scratch the back off and give him the
You
numbers.
Didn't do it, though, did
no.
you?
No.
Yes, he did.
Oh, my goodness. Really, Ed?
Yeah, and then when she came home, there were Nike gift cards, so we had to take a photo, per se.
Oh, my.
And we got home. There was a camera watching every move we were making as we walked in the door to take a photo of the gift card. So now I have no recourse. I don't have no idea what to do now.
Yeah, she's got to get off the phone with that person, and you should probably call the police and tell them what happened to you. And the FBI may or may not get involved as well. $4,000 is something that is pretty significant.
It's a lot of money for us, because we're on Social Security. So everything is going to be deposited, direct deposit to the bank.
Right. So you need to go and hopefully she gave no bank numbers, or I hope she gave no bank account numbers.
I don't know. She's on the phone with him now, yelling at him and stuff like that.
Yelling at the bad guy?
I can hear him.
Yelling at the bad guy or the bank?
Yeah, I know. It's the guy who's calling, because she wants our computer back. He says, oh, the hackers came in there. They're controlling everything.
Yeah, he's probably lying about that. So he's already taken your money because she can get off the phone with him. She's not going to get anywhere with that guy.
I know.
But you need to call the police next.
We did that yesterday.
Okay, good. Did they tell you to do anything?
Well, all they said was, as long as it was, deposited in your account, there's nothing they can do about it because it's in your account. So all you do is taking the money out and giving it back to the person.
What?
I know.
The police told you that? The police told you that?
Well, it's because it originally started because they deposited into our account.
But they didn't.
They supposedly they did because it was shown that they deposited it.
Right, in a fake PayPal.
So we had
to
turn the money back to the person.
I understand all that. So the police didn't seem to understand your problem either. If that's what they
probably
said.
Not.
They didn't pick up on the fact that this is a scam.
Right.
I would call them back and say, this was a scam.
Right.
You're going to have to investigate it.
Yeah. And also call PayPal. And you do use PayPal, obviously. You must, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You may want to call PayPal and tell them about what happened to you. Don't call any numbers that were sent to you by the bad guy. Go and call PayPal directly and say, hey, this is what happened. And they should have an area of their service that can work with you, but yelling at the bad guy is not going to get you anywhere.
I know we have a phone number and everything else. Does that help?
It might help, but again, the guy can get phone numbers. They can easily get phone numbers.
I know. She's going kind of crazy per se. It's like,
she's mad. She's very mad. She's very mad, and you guys are very. So you're very nice to try to make something right because you thought something was made wrong and you were going to try to make it right because somebody inadvertently put money. And that's all preying upon your goodness. And that's just the nature of these scammers out there. So you need to go ahead and get on the phone with PayPal, see if they can help you, and get on the phone with the police because they clearly didn't quite understand what's going on. Unless I'm missing something, they scammed you, giving you a fake number as far as how much was improperly deposited into your account. You believed it without checking your PayPal account specifically, and then you went and bought cards. So when you start talking about those gift cards and stuff and scratching things off, the police should pretty much instantly realize this. You may also have coverage under your homeowner's insurance. Just ask. Just saying. You should call and find out about your insurance. I assume you have some sort of insurance, right?
Yeah, we do, yeah.
You may be – they robbed you. They didn't come in your home and do it. They did it over the phone.
No.
So you may have coverage. Don't hold your breath, but you might. And you might be able to get that $4,000 back. But God, let this be a lesson to you guys. Never do this type of stuff with scratching cards.
I know. We do really know what happens to somebody else, but you never figured it happened to you.
Right.
You know?
Yep. And you guys just did what you thought was right. And again, it's all baloney. But I think you do need to make a couple phone calls. Tell her to stop wasting her time yelling at this guy. This guy's got nothing but time. He's sitting in the third world. There's probably a couple goats walking past, and he's laughing at you. He's in Uzbekistan or something like that. Don't bother.
I hear you.
Okay. Yeah. So don't bother wasting your time. The money's probably gone. It's just a matter of seeing if you can get some sort of claim on your insurance. And I'm sorry it happened to you, Ed. As far as being in your computer, you need to go and bring your machine to a trusted IT company, like maybe Staples might be able to help you, have them do a scan on your machine.
Yeah, well, we have our own guy, you know.
Oh, you got your own guy. So turn off your machine.
Yeah.
Shut it off.
Yeah.
Just shut it off now.
Yeah.
And then, don't wait. Shut it off.
And then talk to him whenever you can get out there to scan it for you, Ed.
Right.
I appreciate the call.
Okay.
I think you let people know what happened.
I hope it just works out for us, you know.
Me too. I think your only recourse is insurance.
Okay.
But check with PayPal. Call PayPal as a customer and say, here's what happened to me. Can you help me? They might.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
Thank you so much.
You got it, Ed.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, bye-bye. I wish we could help him and like give him some sort of inoculation or something, but... Yeah. If you let them in the door, this is the issue when it comes to anybody coming and knocking on your door and acting like they're from the water company. Hey, I got to check your pipes. I'm from so-and-so. I got to check this. You know, that's why I joke around saying, what's your password? All they're doing is asking for the information and you're giving it. And if you have to jump through hoops like that, whenever you receive an email saying anything about your account, yes, you can feel like it's real. Right. And everyone's had that feeling. I told you about my little thing when I was the Facebook marketplace. Even I can get scammed. Everybody is human. Well, that's also why we offer security awareness training to our clients. Our business clients we're doing security awareness training constantly. It's an ongoing thing. And really more companies should do it because these types of scams are happening constantly and the bad guys are way ahead of us. So if you can get security awareness training happening, you can actually then be more aware of the scams that happen. So in our case, if you get hit with a question saying, hey, you know, yada, 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 whatever the email might be to trick you, if you identify it, you get congratulated. If you click on it, you get admonished. Hey, this could have been a big problem. And that constant thing, we had a client who thought the U.S. Post Office had some sort of thing going on with packages that were coming, and he fell for it, right? He clicked on the link. Of course, it's the season of packages, right? Of course, you've got a package coming from the U.S. Post Office, so of course you're going to click on the link. And of course, we told him, wah, wah, this was a test. Had it been a real attack, he could have literally loaded a payload on the owner's computer. And now what's happening?
Right.
Who knows what's happening?
That could have been really bad.
Yeah. So we're going to step out for a quick break, get back to more of your calls. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.
Did you miss Computer Talk with Tab on Saturday? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. And Joey brought up a good point that we want to remind you of. So if you're getting new software, getting Xboxes, PlayStations, if you can find them, right?
Yes.
One thing you want to consider doing is connecting it to the old internets and updating it. Because if you try to do it on Christmas morning and watch the latest movies or stream this or that, and everyone's hammering and updating and downloading games, you're literally not going to have the ability to do much for the first 3 or 4 hours of Christmas morning.
Yeah.
So update it for the kid, you know, do that type of thing and you'll be all set.
Yeah. You want them to be able to turn it on and play.
Exactly.
Right then.
There's nothing worse than Christmas morning.
And turn it on and wait for 3 hours for something to update.
Yeah. And then get hit with massive data bills on after that. So keep that in mind. I'm going to quickly get to Jack in Middletown. Jack, we only have a few minutes. What can I do for you, sir?
Yeah, I'll try and make it quick. The Kronos hack, my daughter works at Stop and Shop. And
yeah.
I was surprised. She called me yesterday saying, Dad, I don't know if I'm going to get paid. I'm like, what? I know you covered it a lot.
Yeah.
Now, as a CEO, let's say I'm the CEO or whatever, the big man, big kahuna.
Of what?
Stop and Shop.
Yeah.
What are my choices?
Well, you got to talk to your geek and say, hey, why'd you put me in that Kronos cloud? And maybe I should have bought a local server and did it the old-fashioned way. I know it sounds silly, but it's not silly.
Yeah, it's like hindsight, but... Either you pay or you don't, or do they have insurance? I don't know.
So they probably do have insurance, and they're going to probably put a claim on some sort of cyber insurance, but guess what their rates are going to do? As I gave you an example last week of a cancer doctor who was impacted by the Elekta outage, his cyber insurance went from $1,400 a year to $15,000 a year, and he didn't do anything.
Why.
Well, right. He put a claim. So imagine if all the Stop and Shops using Kronos put in a claim on their insurance. You know, it's going to be a very expensive premium next year. I guess they're going to have to do it the old fashioned way and write a check, use the old spreadsheets And think twice about the cloud. You got to have a backup. The cloud is just somebody else's servers. So why do you think they're any better than your servers? I mean, that's the whole misnomer of the cloud.
Yeah.
They're not doing any better, clearly.
No.
So
unfortunately.
Sorry it happened to you, Jack, but we're not surprised.
All right.
Thank you. So it's too bad. You might not get a paycheck around Christmas thanks to your cloud.
That hurts.
Going down. I want to thank Wes Bryan from IT Pro TV for joining us. He'll come back again sometime in January. I thank Mike G for posting everything. I want to thank Matt for producing, even though we couldn't hear him. it's nice to see Joey. And thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I think we're off next Saturday because it's Christmas and they play Christmas music. So you won't hear us next Saturday. But we'll be back. We'll be back after the first year. Maybe not then, too. I don't know.
Remember, we want you to be geeks too.
Merry Christmas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.